I've shared this story with you before. Larry Crabb writes about a time when he and his wife were touring Miami Beach. And he writes, "One block west of the luxury beach hotel, the ones pictured on all the postcards, was a very ordinary big street, city street, noisy, dirty, heavily trafficked, with cabs and buses and plumbing repair trucks. The street was lined with less than elegant businesses and shops and row dwellings, with the occasional green shrubs poking its way out of a square foot of dirt on the concrete. A patch of blue sky was visible only if you looked straight up. No one was snapping pictures to send home or put in scrapbooks. At one point, we walked in front of a wood-slatted porch, maybe 10 feet deep, with perhaps 60 feet of sidewalk frontage. At least 100 chairs were arranged in neat rows and columns, none touching, each in exactly the same position to the others. The occupied chairs, and most of them were, each held one motionless retired man or woman staring straight ahead at the street. I can't recall seeing anyone rocking, though I'm sure someone was. I do remember that no heads turned to follow a passing taxi or pedestrian, or to chat with another porch sitter. There were no paperback novels or newspapers, not even a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. There was no conversation. I remember thinking, all of their lives, everyone on this porch worked hard in Detroit or New York with the dream of retiring in Florida. And now they've made it. Everything they've lived for has come to this. Sitting in chairs, looking straight ahead, never into another person's eyes, never knowing anyone, and known by no one." We had a visitor from India last week, Father Paul, and he shared with us some of the challenges they have there in India. And then I asked him at the end, who now is the mission field? Are we the mission field? And when I read stories like this from Larry Crabb, I begin to think, yes, we are. We are a mission field. Last week I mentioned Bishop Leslie Newbigin, who spent most of his life in India as a missionary. And when he came back to the West, which was England for him, he was astounded to see how much England had become less receptive to the gospel, while India and the rest of the world had become more receptive to the gospel. Now, our tendency as churchgoers is to remember what it was like in the 50s or the early 60s or the 40s or whatever time you want to remember. However, in those days, everyone came to church, whether they believed or not, whether it was something they were invested in or not. We tend to romanticize those days. But we can't return to 1954. And we can't return to a time like that by achieving some kind of political power. What we need, however, is the inherent power of the gospel and of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Leslie Newbigin says, "When the church tries to embody the rule of God in the forms of earthly power, it may just receive that power or achieve that power, but it is no longer a sign of the kingdom. It has become something else." This is when we need this passage from Luke to give us an insight into Jesus' work of mission and spreading the kingdom of heaven. Jesus sends out these disciples. The previous chapter, he had sent out the 12, or I should say in chapter 8. And then they had their transfiguration. experience. But here he sends 70. Now, if you know your Torah, you know from the book of Numbers, Moses appointed 70 elders in Israel to assist him in shepherding the children of Israel. What is special about these 70 that Jesus chooses? They don't seem to be sufficiently trained, but they are still sent. Jesus says, take nothing except the message, the kingdom of God is at hand. And they are to accept the hospitality of others. In fact, they are to rely on the hospitality of others. They are to go two by two and shake the dust off their feet for anyone that does not welcome them. Now, Luke records that this mission was a rousing success. They bring healing to the people. They have power over the evil one in their mission. And the fact that even the demons listen to them is proof positive that the message is true. The kingdom of God has come near. Jesus directs them to see a plentiful harvest, that many will come to the kingdom if they are just given a chance. What is needed is not the harvest. That is a given. But those who would collect and bring it in. Well, there is a strategy here from Jesus in spreading the message of the kingdom. The first is that he sends them out. The second is that he sends them out with nothing. But lastly, he sends them to a specific place. First, Jesus sends them out. And that very fact is important. The 70 in Luke are very ordinary disciples. Not superhuman. They don't go with a clipboard with all their training. They just simply go. They go because there is a harvest. Same as us. We must go, not because we are trained in sales, not because we are slick presenters, not because we have a little book that says, I have all the answers, but because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. In 2013, as opposed to 1954, they may no longer come to us. We must go to them. But we go because we have something worth hearing. Now, this sounds difficult. However, we always talk about the things that are important to us. Ask a mother about her new baby. Ask a father about his job. Whatever is important to us, what do? We come out with passion. And I've actually talked to many of you to whom your faith is so easy to share. And you don't sit there and say, okay, here's what you need to do. We're going to close this sale. I've got numbers to make. No, you just simply say, the gospel is important to me. Jesus is important to me. The kingdom of heaven is important to me. So the question we must ask ourselves, is it important enough for us to share? Well, secondly, Jesus sends his disciples out with nothing except the message. And how vulnerable is that? Now, Father Paul said last week that he thinks the main reason why the gospel is resisted in our culture is because of our materialism. Now, what's the first word that you think of when you think of materialism? You think of greed. But that's actually not what materialism is. Materialism is being distracted by things. Being distracted by things. It is to honor things, material things, regardless of what those are, above Jesus, above the message of the cross, above the kingdom of heaven. No matter what they are, again. And Father Paul said, without the carrying of one's cross, there is no hope of redemption. And what does Paul say in our letter today? I have crucified the world. An interesting choice of words. In other words, carrying one's cross is to give yourself away to God and His mission in your life. Listen to the words of St. Francis. He's speaking of his own rule, his own community. If we had any possessions, we should need weapons and laws to defend them. Then he says, what could you do to a person who owns nothing? You can't starve a fasting person. You can't steal from someone who has no money. You can't ruin someone who hates prestige. They are truly free. And this is actually very important in Jesus' strategy for sending out his disciples. Go with nothing. You are truly free when you have nothing to offer but the gospel. When we rely totally on God and give ourselves away on his behalf. This is what he's doing with his disciples. This is what he wishes to do with us. Well, lastly, I think this is the crux for Jesus, and something that might go right by us if we don't pay attention to it. And it comes in the first couple verses. Jesus sends the 70 disciples on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. This is not a random sending out. Jesus had already intended to be in the exact places where he sends these 70. Why is that important? Because Jesus had plans for those places before any of them did. What were his plans? He says in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was already at work before his disciples even got started. They were participants in God's work, not pioneers working on their own. So the question we ask ourselves, do we believe that God is at work in this world? Do we believe that God is at work in the world around us? Do we believe that God wishes for the gospel to be proclaimed by word and by deed to those around us? And there are several ways we can do this. As Christians, we should have an alternative to materialism. And that alternative is not necessarily get rid of all your stuff and go on the mission field. It might be. I don't want to leave that option out. But it is our perspective. There is not just a material world to live for. And this is what we must communicate. We say it every Ash Wednesday. Remember that you are dust. And to dust you shall return. And despite this, there is a God who is pursuing us, who wants to have relationship with us. John Sintamu, the Archbishop of York, says this, whatever your own personal experience, the important thing to remember is that God loves us totally. More than that, he is always searching for us, ready to welcome us home. Like the father looking for the wayward son, or the shepherd looking for a single lost sheep. This is the message we have. It is never too late to return home. It is never too late to find the God who is already seeking you. And it's not so much that we say come to church, though coming to church is important. What we are telling others is to have that relationship with God in Christ, regardless of where they go to church. Notice also, the disciples went out to heal the sick and to free those who were under the power of the devil. Now, when we think of the power of the devil, we think of some wayward land. Or we look at the caste system in India, we say, oh yeah, that's easy to see. The power of the devil, the bondage. But what about those who have lived so long for this American dream and are sitting on a street on Miami Beach, staring out into space? If that ain't bondage, what is? But we have the message of the kingdom. There is more than just one darn thing after another. There is more than just waiting for the opportunity for us to sit and stare. God in Christ wishes to have a relationship with us. And we offer God love, His healing, because He is already at work, intending to bring this world into His care. Amen.